The courage and strength of Jesus be ours today, dear heart dwellers. Well, I'm going to share with you what I've been fighting all week, and especially the last 3 days, and why there wasn't a message. First of all, thank you so much for your prayers. When I go without giving you a message, you are always correct in assuming that we're going through the refiner's fire. Just about 90% sure that that's what's going on. So thank you for praying for us. On May the 21st this year, in the teaching, Your Designer Cross from Jesus, the Lord warned us all we were entering into a new phase of trials and training as He was advancing us to a new plateau of holiness. And here's what He said. There will be tests and trials in the coming days, many tests and trials. You are entering a new plateau, climbing a new mountain, as it were. Many will be tried in new ways, for as we go forward, there must be progress. You must always be embracing more and more holiness, patience, humility, and steadfastness. These are the things that qualify you for advancement in my service. When you handle one level well, I advance you to the new challenges in order to prepare you for new graces. I will be with you in all of this. It is for my glory and the salvation of souls. You know I never waste anything. Remember, everything is in my hands, and it's not about you, but my agenda. And graces will flow like a river. Your little flock, too, will advance in the ways of holiness. There will not be one day that does not have its particular challenges. Forewarned is forearmed. I wish for you all to stick together and be supportive of one another. This is the mark of my end times army, brotherly love. For however long you are here, I want you to advance in holiness, my brides. There will be ample opportunity. Remember, it's not about prosperity, popularity, and power, but righteousness, peace, and joy in my Holy Spirit, in the midst of a corrupt and challenging world. Moments of triumph will be gratifying, and I will reward each richly with the sweetness of my presence. The number of those who leave will decline. No one can argue against brotherly love and unity of purpose. And that was the end of that part of that message. Well, true to His word, that very day 3 weeks ago, it began in earnest. And I thought to myself, really, Lord, this soon? Can't we start in a few days? It's been so nice without a battle. Typically, I never heard Him answer that foolish question. So what's been going on with us, I bet you're all asking. Battle after battle after battle, that's what's going on. And for all you curious Satanists, yes, it has been hard, but now we're stronger. And God always uses your curses to bring blessings. We are being formed in the image of Christ, bloody crown and all, just so He will easily recognize His bride when He comes. In the meantime, we have new swords, shields, and mighty weapons of warfare to bring down strongholds, and gifts to bring in new converts, because our Lord always uses our suffering to increase the kingdom of God. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. So no matter how self-pitiful I might sound, God is mighty and on His throne. Hallelujah. As Anton LaVey has been quoted as saying, Satan has been the best friend the church ever had, as he has kept it in business all these years. And that is simply to remind you, heart dwellers, every weapon formed against you will not prosper, but rather build you in holiness and bring more souls into the kingdom. The nature of our sufferings? I know all of you can relate to this because the Lord said we would all go through it. But before I get into that, I must say that all this ramping up of trouble is just because the enemy knows how little time he has left before the church is removed. And the Lord is working hard with our cooperation to bring in conversions. Nothing we have suffered, not even the worst humiliations, have gone without bringing forth bushelfuls of good fruit. Ezekiel has been very sick for a couple of weeks, and these last few days it reached a climax. I have to say I was so tied up in prayer and so stressed mentally and emotionally that I just couldn't think straight. We were within hours of major surgery, and with our friends and warriors gathered around us, the bullet went on by, and he is on the mend. He knew this was for souls because every time he went to the Bible promises, he got scriptures about the rapture and the shortness of time. And my suffering was mental to the point where all I could do was pray and take care of him as best I could. We knew there were assignments and death curses from multiple sources. We knew because we got enemies several times from the Bible promises. But along with that came trust in the Lord. Rest in me. I will protect and deliver you. And true to his word, he has. If he has other plans, well, we'll find out when he tells us. Until then, we've been through the fire, our little hands in his, and there's not even the odor of burning on our garments. In fact, our wedding gowns are shining. I have to tell you, I'm just a mouse for the Lord. The real muscle and anointing is with Carol and Ezekiel and Sherry, and all of you, and our prayer warriors, and they get the heat too, big time. They're the muscle behind this ministry that is so hated. And they get torched almost every day when we are in a learning, sanctifying cycle. Will that ever end, Lord? Another dumb question. Well, our little bundle of joy finally arrived, a rescued collie puppy, 11 weeks old. And he looked exactly, the markings were exactly the same as the vision the Lord gave me of him about 10 weeks ago. Amazing. And he came with a blazing siren tuned only for feline ears. All five cats took to the hills, sneaking in the house only for meals and then mysteriously disappearing again. That was hard. That was lonely because they all sleep on the bed with us. So when they all went in five different directions, I missed them terribly. So the stress between them really started to take its toll on Ezekiel and I. Because of his past with a violent, abusive, alcoholic father, he was the one who was constantly trying to make everything good and right so that he wouldn't get beaten. He wanted to keep the peace between everyone. But of course, the harder he tried with the cats and the dog, the worse it got, and the more his particular medical issue flamed up. Finally, we got the message. Leave them alone and they'll work it out without your so-called help. And of course, the little guy wanted to be by me at all times, even when I went out at 3 a.m. to dispose of some trash. Coming back in as I was stepping into the house, he got directly under my foot. I started to fall and caught my balance, but not before I broke his little tibia bone, the lower part of his leg. Well, the discovery of that was enough to crush me into fine powder. I called the vet on duty at 4 a.m., who had just gone to bed after a 2-hour cesarean, and pulled into his clinic 30 minutes later. I don't think he was a happy camper. The poor man, he was older, and I know he did his best, but he couldn't anesthetize my puppy to set the leg because he had just eaten. And he didn't tell me what was going to happen when he would set the puppy's leg. Namely, the poor little guy screamed in pain and then bit him multiple times, even though I was trying to hold him still. At that point, the vet, at the end of his rope, with a beet red face, said, "Get out of here. Just get out." I thought, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. I really needed that humiliation. Even though I came in crying, I really needed that, the frosting and the whipped cream and the cherry on top. I think I got a supernatural dose of painkiller at that point. I went from tears to numb. He actually had forgotten to put a muzzle on the puppy, and he didn't warn me. And I knew he was tired, very tired. Later, he apologized, but I could see his hand was bleeding. The little guy has very sharp teeth, and he likes to use them. So we're in a long training cycle with that one. Anyway, our little blessing was now part of a victim soul family. We were all suffering for sinners. But of course, I felt horrible about what I had done. Right? You know how the enemy uses that condemnation. And Ezekiel was so sweet. He said, "Honey, it could have happened to anyone." I thought to myself, yeah, but it didn't. No, it happened to me. Adding that stress to the war zone with the cats and the puppy continually nipping, 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 and the cat seeking higher ground, Ezekiel's condition worsened, and my sweetest and most freaky cat totally disappeared. Seriously? To add to the fun, our friend who helps us here got ill and had to go to the hospital. He is the one who relieves me of my chores so I can be here for you. Now he's gone, and we are all on our own. Well, as the days wore on, we knew things were very serious with Ezekiel's condition, which has to do with his digestive system. Each day as we tried to bring peace in the war zone between cats and puppy, the tension just built up and made him sicker and sicker. No matter how hard we prayed, he just got worse until a few hours before we had decided tentatively to go to the hospital and most probably have major surgery. By then, we had learned somewhat to stand down with the cats and relax, not be so tense. But apparently, the damage was already done. Guys, I really tried to get messages out to you, but I was so drained mentally, physically, and emotionally. When I sat still to listen to the Lord, all I could do was fall asleep. The Lord got a few words in, but not as I like to supply you with all fresh manna every day. And of course, I had to be alert for my husband in case we needed to call an ambulance. So if you were wondering why I wasn't putting out new messages, now you know. I just wasn't strong enough to keep going under all that pressure. For an update, missing Kitty came home, sick, another trip to the vet, and Ezekiel's condition improved, and there's peace between the felines and the puppy. They're learning to like one another, actually, and playing together, so all our prayers weren't in vain. And I've gone through the trouble to tell you all this because I know some of you are suffering the same types of trials. We are in this together. When one weeps, we all weep. When one rejoices, well, that's coming soon, but not here quite yet. Now the Lord wants to share something with you. He began, "Claire, from every one of the things you and Ezekiel have suffered, I have brought forth a tenfold harvest. Every single suffering has yielded a rich harvest for the kingdom of God. I told you these things ahead of time, my brides, because I could see what was coming. It is so important for you to take these kinds of warnings seriously and remember them in the fray of the battle so you don't grow discouraged. I have seen all of you fighting to keep your faith. I have seen all of you growing weary in the battle. But I'm here to tell you there is an end coming. Dare I say soon? No, I don't think I will. I will just promise you there is an end coming. What Ezekiel and Claire have suffered is but a fraction of suffering for those who have been displaced and lost everything, children, husbands, wives. Please put this into perspective. You are going to be reunited with your families in heaven. But for now, at least you are still able to stay warm and fed and receive treatment when you are sick. Although I truly want to be your first recourse in illness. But I want to commend you that you are standing. You are not caving in. You are not shaking your fist at me, although the devils have tempted that response. You are holding on to the gift of faith and shouldering your crosses, custom-made crosses that I've designed specifically just for you, knowing your strengths, weaknesses, and how much you would rely on me. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is extending to more and more people may overflow in thanksgiving to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day. For our light and temporary affliction is producing for us an eternal glory that far outweighs our troubles. Therefore, we do not lose heart. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Remember these words, my doves, and you will not fall in the battle. Live by these words, and you will fear no evil, and you will receive high marks when the tally is finally in. Remember, there is nothing that befalls you that I do not allow for a specific reason. And in all events, I am in control. Seek the response inspired by my Holy Spirit, and you will wear the crown of victory. You are my co-laborers in my vineyard. Every suffering, every deed, will bring forth a vintage harvest at the appointed time.